All at one time, we got 5 inches at our house in one day, and then a little after and a little before, but it was good to see that rain, and the grass has responded, and the need to mow the yard is back again, so always something to do. I hope that things went well for you this week. I know that I noticed a man up here leading songs that I hadn't noticed leading songs before. He looked fairly young the way he was going around up here, but I assume he is, you know, the way energy he put into it. So it's good to see him leading songs. I guess he's getting squared away for songs at the feast. I don't know, you know, I hadn't seen him lead songs in a long time. So hopefully he will continue. He puts his heart and soul into it, and you can certainly hear him singing out. So we appreciate his willingness to do that. Some years ago, there was an engineering conference, and I wasn't there at the time, but they had an engineering conference, and several of the members that went to the conference decided to go out to lunch together. When they sat down at the table, one of the members noted that the salt and the pepper shakers were reversed. One of them had, the pepper shaker had salt in it, and the salt shaker had pepper in it. And so they began to talk about it, and they said, you know, we need to figure out how we can do this without spilling and correct the problem. So it was a challenge to fix that situation. And they were energetic about it and went to talking about how they could fix it. And they said, we can do this without a mess. That's the way engineers try to do things, you know, try to keep everything clean and without a mess. So they all pondered how they could swap the contents of one bottle to the other bottle without spilling the salt or the pepper. Clearly the job was one that a mind of an engineer could figure out. So they went about the solution to the problem. And they finally came up with a brilliant solution involving a napkin, 2 spoons, a straw, and an empty saucer. Then they called the waitress over to kind of dazzle her a little bit with, you know, their solution to the problem. They said, ma'am, we couldn't help but notice that the pepper shaker contained salt and the salt shaker contained pepper. And we wanted to have you watch us correct this situation so if it would happen in the future, you wouldn't have to worry about that. But before they could finish and start their exhibition of what they were trying to do, the waitress interrupted and she said, oh, I'm so sorry. So she leaned over the table and unscrewed the caps on both the shakers and switched them. So there was a solution that required very little thought and energy. But some engineers put a lot of thought and energy into things that they don't need to. Of course, I might be one of those too. But anyway, I thought that was a simple solution. And the world needs solutions. We heard Mr. Franks talking about the situation in the world just keeps getting worse and worse year by year. And more effort is put into, we need to do this, we need to do that, we need to correct this and that. But this has gone on for 6,000 years. Mankind has not been able to solve the problems that we face as a world for 6,000 years. So our solutions as humans don't seem to be the best. I think that's probably the conclusion we could come up with, just like the engineer's solution was not the best. But as we study God's word, we see that he's given us, as his servants, the right solutions to the problems. And we're blessed to have that right solution, just like the waitress was blessed to have the right solution to the problem that she was facing. But we as God's people are blessed people to have a knowledge of what God is doing and how he's going to correct the world situation and bring about blessings upon those of us that are called and chosen, and then the whole world to that end. You know, in Matthew 24, in verse 21 and 22, it talks about the situation, unless God would intervene, we would actually destroy ourselves. And, you know, that's an ominous situation that's looming in the future. I was impressed with the new booklet that came out, the Book of Revelation, and it talked about, you know, the storm before the, you know, the peace and the safety and so forth. And that's what's going to happen. There is going to be a storm, but there is going to be peace. God is going to intervene to bring peace and happiness and joy. But God's shown that for us. He's called us to the right solution. And we need to take it to heart, not just frivolously, but be aware of what we need to be doing now, learning about the solution that God has in mind for mankind. I know a couple, 3 months ago, I had a chance to speak, and I spoke. And I spoke about our responsibilities as Christians. And one of the points that I mentioned, the second point that I mentioned, was our responsibility now to learn to walk in newness of life. A new life, a new way of living, to conduct ourselves in a right way, a way that God has ordained that we should walk. Let's turn to Revelation, the 18th chapter. Revelation 18, and let's look at verse 4. Revelation 18 and verse 4. It says in verse 4, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, lest she share in her sins, unless you receive her plagues." So here's an admonition to start with, that the things that are wrong in the world today that are causing the problems, we're to see and we're to come out of. Come out of the world so that we don't share in the sins and the difficulties and the problems that those sins bring upon the world. Back in 1 John, the second chapter, 1 John 2, and let's look at verse 15, 1 John 2 and verse 15. It says, "Do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." So here's an indictment about those in the world and the way they're going. They don't really love God. But we are to understand that God wants us to have love for him, and that love requires that we follow the direction that he gives us to go. "For all that is in the world, and the lust, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." So here's the hope that God gives us. He says, you know, you go about it in this way, you realize that indeed, the world is wrong. You see the wrongs in the world. You move yourself from that and do what I've commanded you to do, and you have an opportunity to live forever. And, of course, we know that that opportunity is going to be given to others in the world at the right time as well. But this is a challenge for us today, an opportunity to see the solution, to accept that solution, and learn how that solution works. Let's look in John 2, and let's go back up to verse 3. John, 2 John 2, and verse 3. I said 2 John, it's 1 John, excuse me. 1 John 2, and verse 3. It says, "Now, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments." So that relationship with God is established through our obedience to him by keeping his laws, his ways, following his instructions, letting him guide us and lead us. He who says, "I know him," and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. So that's what God is doing. He's perfecting his love in us as we go forward. By this we know that we know him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Talking about Jesus Christ as our example. We need to walk and follow the example of Jesus Christ. Get organized up here. Let's turn back to Romans, the 6th chapter. Romans 6, and let's look at verse 1, begin in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we die to sin, or how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do we not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? So the realization that we're to be dead to the sin of the ways of the world. Those things that we have done, just like the world is doing still today, and to put those out of our lives. Therefore, in verse 4 it says, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also walk in newness of life. So here is a challenge that we've been given, is an opportunity to walk in a new life, a new way of conducting ourselves. And when we were baptized and we went down into the water, the old man was to be put away and a new man was to be reared up or raised, so to speak, from the water. And that new man was to walk in a new way and to follow God's ways. For if we have been united together in likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves to sin. So that bringing forth life out of the baptism says that we are to be no longer slaves to the sinful way, the ways of the world. Back in, well, let's go on over here in Romans 6 to the 15th verse. Start again in verse 15. It says, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? And we are under grace, but we're to keep God's laws. Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves to sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which you were from which you were. I'll get it here in a minute. That form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness, of the right way. So we're slaves of the right way. Back in Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, Jeremiah 18, and let's look at verse 1 here. We see an example of what God is talking about, the change and the solution that God wants to bring about. Jeremiah 18, and let's begin in verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessels that he made were of clay and were marred in the hand of the potter, so that he made it again unto another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. So you can recognize the situation. Here's a potter. He's worked on a vessel. It's marred. It needs correction. So he starts, a correction process. He's not satisfied with it the way it is, and and wants to bring it to what he wants. Then the word of the Lord came to him, or to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as the potter says to the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and destroy it, if that nation again, against whom I have spoken, turns from its evil, I will relent of the desire that I thought to bring upon them, or disaster that I thought to bring upon them. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it. So we see God is talking to Israel here, but the parallel is here individually for us as well. He had a nation that would not obey him, and so he was going to remake a nation. And we know that we're going to be a part of that nation, spiritual Israel, today. And we're being molded and shaped individually to be one in the potter's hands. So there is a transformation that we are to be making as we come from baptism and go forward. The way we walk, the way we conduct ourselves, so that we are the vessel that God wants. So that we are the vessel that God wants. So that brings us to the question about ourselves. Are we really honoring God as individuals by walking in newness of life? A new way, God's way, day by day, as Mr. Franks pointed out, or Mr. Sayer, I guess, earlier too, about the reality of the responsibility we have. We're a nation that has not been willing to yield to God's direction, and we see the problems that are taking place in the world today. Let's turn back to Galatians, the second chapter. Galatians 2, and let's look at verse 20. It goes on to say here, it's talking about Paul, and he's mentioning this. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So you see the transition or transformation that takes place with Paul. He came from the world's ways and was transformed through Christ living in him. And we too can be transformed by Christ living in us. God's Spirit guiding us and directing us and helping us. So this needs to be personal in our mind, that we become a vessel that is yielded to God and that God can work with. That we aren't stubborn and hard-headed and not willing to change and to see things from God's perspective. So what are some of the things that can help us as we seek to walk in this newness of life that God has called us to? What are some of the things that we should do? There are many things that we can think about, but I've listed three that I would like to cover briefly today. First thing that I see is we need definitely to let God's ways lead us. God's Spirit guides us in His ways so that we make the changes we need to make. So let God's ways lead us. Not the world's ways. We can contrast those, and I hope to go through some of that a little bit later on here, but we need to look at God's ways, and are we really walking in those ways, in that newness of life? You know, Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, one that you probably know from heart. Jeremiah 17 verse 9 says, the heart, our hearts, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. So God is able to look inside, and that's what he's concerned about, what's inside of us. See our hearts and our minds, what motivates us, what our attitudes and frames of mind are. And, you know, he sees those things that are good. He sees the things that are bad. And he wants to help us change those if we're willing to be led by his Spirit and we follow his ways in an obedient path. So we need to be asking, search our hearts, test our minds, show us our weaknesses, our strengths. Help us to use what you've given us, the blessings you've poured out upon us, and walk in that newness of life. Whoa. You know, God's ways can guide us. They certainly are the roadmap, so to speak, of the way to go. Let's go to another scripture that emphasizes the point that I'm talking about here. It's Psalm 139, verse 23 and verse 24. It says, Psalm 139, verse 23, search me. In other words, look inside of me. You know my thoughts, my attitude, my frame of mind, my approach, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties or the things inside that trouble me. And see if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. So the right way is to be an everlasting way. It's to go on for eternity. Once we learn to walk in this new way of life, this way will continue into God's kingdom. It's God's way. And it brings about the transformation of our character to godly character. So we need to let God lead us in his way everlasting. That's an opportunity. That's a promise that we've been given as we yield ourselves to God. Back in Psalms, the 19th chapter. Psalms 19. Got a new Bible here, and it's the thin paper, and these pages seem to kind of stick together yet, so I'm having a hard time adjusting, but we're going to get there. Psalms 19 and verse 12 says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults, faults in our nature. Cleanse us from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgressions. So God wants to clean us from the inside out. He wants our motivations to be right. He wants our attitudes to be right. He wants us to realize what we are and why we are. And what an awesome calling that we've been given. Back in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. 2 Corinthians 10, and let's look at verse 3. Shows what God wants to transform. I think that's 2 Corinthians. Yeah, it is 2 Corinthians. I've gone too far. All those pages and my shaking hands. Okay, here we are, 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, We do not war according to the flesh. And this is the challenge that we need to understand, that God knows our thoughts and our attitudes, and thoughts are important, that Satan has access to those thoughts if we allow it. So, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. So an assault comes to us, a spiritual assault, through our minds. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments that come into our mind, our carnal ways coming back, seeing others, the things they do. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into the captivity of the obedience of Christ. So here is a responsibility in that walking that we have, is to bring those wrong thoughts under control and remove them so that they do not cause us problems. Bring our thoughts into captivity, ruling over them. You know, Mr. Franks, back in, I guess, I don't remember what year it was, but we went to the feast up in New England one year, and he was speaking, and we went to Boston where he was pastor at that time, and he gave a little saying that has been in my mind ever since then. And then Mr. Herrick, Jeff Herrick, who spoke last week, mentioned that saying, and it brought to mind the same thing, and I just wanted to reemphasize it with you today. Watch your thoughts, because they become your words. Watch your words, because they become your habits. Watch your actions, because they become your character. They become your habits. Watch your habits, because it becomes your character. And your character, watch your character, because it becomes your destiny. So if you allow yourself to go through the process of not watching, then your destiny is not set in righteousness, because we're to have our destiny set on following God's way and His righteousness. But if we don't watch, we can stray from the path that God has given us to walk. So it all begins with our thoughts. So it's important we understand what's going on in our hearts and minds, and the need to keep the righteous thoughts there in our hearts and minds, and to put down the ones that are wrong and contrary to God's way, so that we walk in that newness of life. Walk in that newness of life. The second thing that I feel will help in walking in newness of life is frequently making needed self-evaluations and corrections. Self-correction. You know, we've got to be aware of what God wants for us and see those areas that are in our lives that are not really right according to God's ways. Look at ourselves and make sure our actions are consistent with God's ways, that we aren't straying from the straight and the narrow path. And you can read in Matthew 7 and verse 13 through 14, you know, about the narrow way, the way that we should walk. It's not the broad way that the world walks in, but it's a narrow way. And so we have to be sure that we're still on that same path. And back in James, the first chapter, James 1, and let's look at verse 21. James 1, verse 21. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. God wants us to be blessed in what we do. And there are blessings, of course, from following God's way. So we need to frequently look at ourselves, our thoughts, our actions, the way we conduct our lives, and make those corrections so that they become automatic in our hearts and minds. We automatically think the right thoughts and ways. We need to identify those things and work on them. Now let's look at an example. Let's go back to Ephesians. Ephesians 4 and verse 25. Mr. Sayer went through this last week, but I thought it was a good scripture to review, to bring out the point that I wanted to bring out. Ephesians 4 and verse 25. Yeah, here I am. It says, verse 25, therefore, for putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. You know, it gives us a listing of the areas that we need to be looking at ourselves about. We need to be looking at these things. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor working with his hands with what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for the necessity of edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice and all kinds, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So we need to see ourselves from the standpoint of, what has Christ done for us? He's forgiven us of these things, so we need to be willing to forgive others when they offend us or when they do things, but we need to be changing ourselves as well, making those changes in our hearts and minds. So we might go through the Bible and just make a list. One of the things that you can do is you can think about the good qualities that God has that he's pointing out. We can go through a list like these verses that I've just gone through. Well, what are some of the qualities that are here? Or some of the other areas all through the Bible? Are our qualities loving? Are they meek? Do we have faith? Are we giving and peaceful? Or, on the other hand, rather than loving, are we hateful? Or get angry? Being meek, are we proud? Certainly pride is a problem for all of mankind. We have to watch pride. Mr. Kylo gave the Friday Night Live last night and a very good Bible study on pride. How pride infects the mind and our very being, and we may not even see it or understand it. So we need to be meek rather than proud. Do we have faith rather than doubt or fear? Are we giving rather than selfish? Are we peaceful rather than angry and wrathful? You know, I can go on for quite a while here, and you can find many in God's Word, but I'll just go through a few more just to make the contrast of the importance of thinking about these things when you have the opportunity to do these things. How do you respond? Are you merciful or condemning? Are you appreciative or envious? You look at somebody else got a promotion or whatever. Are you appreciative for that person? Are you envious? Am I confident or fearful? Do I look at the self and inwardly say, you know, I'm inadequate to do that, but not allow God to help us do it? Trusting God. Are we trusting with others? Are we suspicious? Do we have a positive outlook or a negative outlook? You know, I like to play the character Eeyore. That's me, you know, I'm an Eeyore, you know. I do that, I guess, probably out of fun, but maybe there's something underneath that I need to be aware of. You know, I feel like I'm down and cast out and I'm mistreated and all those kind of things that happen to Eeyore. Eeyore is, you know, one of my favorite animals. But anyway, you know, I'm trying to make the point here that we need to consider how we look at things and circumstances in that situation. So I try to have a positive outlook. Am I honest, really truthful? Or do I stretch the truth? Am I really repentant, or have I just grazed the surface of repentance? And still I'm hard-hearted, not allowing these other things to come into my heart and mind the way that I should have. Am I sharing, or am I covetous? What's the situation there? Am I gentle, or am I harsh? Lustful, or appreciative? Do I desire things that other people have, or lust in the wrong ways and not appreciate other people? There's many more that you can make a list of, but specifically when you see areas of concern, put those down and think about them in the light of where you stand and how you're growing and how you're walking in that newness of life. Back in Galatians, the third or fifth chapter, I won't turn there, the scriptures that you know well, the works of the flesh and the works, fruits of the Spirit. There's a good list to go through. Another list is in Colossians, the third chapter. Colossians 3, verse 12 through 17, talks about the new man, how we're to be conducting ourselves as new beings, allowing God to work through us. In Philippians 4, 8, we can meditate on these things of righteousness. In 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, talks about the gift of love and the fruits that love produces. 1 Corinthians 13, of course, is the love chapter. Let's turn to another one, 2 Peter. 2 Peter. And let's look at verse 1. Let's begin in verse 5, 2 Peter 1, verse 5. It says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, and to your virtue, to your faith, virtue, to virtue, knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are in you and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. So it brings us back to the realization of the baptism that we had. Have we strayed from the realization that we were cleansed from our old sins and we're not to be sinning willfully again, that we're to put away the old sins. Therefore, brethren, be ever more diligent to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. So here's that exhortation to walk in the newness that God has given us from his very word, the right way of life. Give all diligence to produce those fruits of righteousness. You know, an example of that, one that I'm concerned about, I have to watch myself, is in James, the third chapter. James 3 and verse 1. Says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall all receive a strict judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. Indeed, we do put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at the ships. Also, they are large and are driven by fierce winds. They are turned very, very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is little member of the body, but great and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. So words can cause disastrous results. And we need to watch our tongues. We need to be aware of those. Becoming perfect. You know, verse 3 says, indeed, in verse 2 it talks about the perfect man. If we are able to eventually control our tongue perfectly, then we become the perfect person in that respect, in that way. So in summary, we see we do have access for help. Let's look over on verse chapter 4 of James. James 4, verse 7. James 4 and verse 7. It says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So that process that I've been talking about fiery darts coming into our minds and our hearts, we need to resist those. Say, am I thinking the wrong thing? Is that the way God would want me to think? Resist those. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Say, God, forgive me. Help me to put these thoughts out of my mind, out of my heart. Then he goes on to say, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, and you double-minded. So when we become double-minded, we need to ask God to forgive us. It says, lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. God wants us to succeed, but he wants us to take advantage of what he's telling us and how we can resist Satan's desire to cause us to stumble and walk down the wrong path, the world's path. The third thing that I think we need to be aware of in walking in newness of life is to walk in faith. Walk in faith. Faith is the key. Faith is the key. Let's turn to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews 11, and let's look at verse 6. In verse 6 it says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. So we have to have that mentality that we're going to put things in God's hands, our lives in his hands, to lead us and direct us and help us. So we have to have that confidence, that trust, as it were, in God. It is impossible to please him, for He who comes to God must believe that he is. So we have to come to the point that we really believe God, we trust him, and we're looking for him to guide our lives so that we can walk the right way. And that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we've got to believe, and that's what Bible study is for us to really see the awesome greatness and the power that God has. You just think about the existence of this universe, how awesome it is that somebody created this out of nothing and maintains it, sustains it, and cares for its creation. So how awesome that is that we see that we have a God that did those things and he cares about us. So we must believe that God is directing us in the right way and trust him that he is the rewarder if we diligently seek him. He's going to give us an opportunity to be in his family for eternity. So with faith, we believe the many promises that God has given and look forward to their fulfillment. So when you have the faith, you look through God's word and you see all of these promises. You know, Mr. Sayer mentioned, I think it was last week, about a third of the Bible being prophecy. A lot of that prophecy and promises go together. You know, a prophecy is a promise unless God relents of it. And so there are a lot of promises that are directly for us today, directly for those that are called as Christians. So we need to realize that God has his plan for us and he has offered us an opportunity to be in his very family. Promises that inspire a commitment to walk in newness of life so that we, as his begotten sons, want to be in his family. You know, he's given so many promises that we should really appreciate. Let's turn to Romans, the first chapter. Romans, the first chapter. Romans 1, and let's begin in verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. So believing in God and really having our hearts and minds committed to that belief means salvation. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So we trust God to deliver us, to show us, to help us, to forgive us in all things in our lives. So it's the just shall live by faith. So as we walk, we must walk in faith. So with that faith, we believe those many promises that God has given to us. But faith requires more than just belief and trust. It requires a commitment. It requires a commitment that you are going to walk that way. In James also, in verse 2, James 2, in verse 14, James 2 and verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or a sister is naked and destitute of food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which they are in need of for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. So God wants us to show our faith by the way we're walking, the way we're conducting our lives, that walking in that newness of life. You believe there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you not want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? So are we committed to walking in faith, following God's way, day by day, and what we set our hands to do? You know, God's promises of salvation help us to have hope. You know, when you get down, you get to be an Eeyore like me, maybe. You see the situation, you realize that, you know, I'm in a wrong attitude. God didn't put me here to be mopey and concerned about myself that way. I need to be looking at what God wants from me, what He wants for me. In Romans, the 8th chapter, it says in verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." What a promise that is. All things. Me being mopey might, inspire me, once I see the problem that I'm having, to not do that again, to realize that God has a purpose, His purpose, according to His purpose, to fulfill in my life, to bring about a change for my natural man. In Philippians 1 and verse 6, it says, "Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." What kind of confidence should we have from that? We should be positive about that. That gives us hope and confidence. In Philippians 4 and verse 13, it says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So if we rely on Jesus Christ to have faith, we have to come to the point and say, you know, I need to put the self behind me and let Christ work through me, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So are we convinced we need to walk in newness of life? I hope we are. You know, to walk in newness of life, we must walk, as I've said, in faith. Having faith that God has called us, He's chosen us, He's working with us, He'll help us if we yield ourselves to Him and allow Him to guide us and direct us. You know, God has a solution. It's not like us engineers coming together and coming to a situation and we can't even come up with the right solution. But God has a solution. God set us apart to be new vessels, learning to walk in newness of life, letting God's ways lead us, frequently evaluating ourselves and correcting those problems we have, and walking in faith to become His future sons.